9 o'clock, I think.
9:00 something.
Do we?
It is 9.
Okay, 9 o'clock exactly. Call the meeting to order. Get a roll call.
Carter.
Here.
Hey.
Alex. Jay.
Here.
McGuire.
Here.
Michaels.
Here.
Mitchell.
Yes.
Here.
Richards.
Morning.
Hi, Max Mitchell.
Court.
President. Okay, the next thing, we need approval of agenda and addendum.
So moved.
Second.
You said the addendum was here?
Addendum? We don't have any addendum.
Oh, I thought you had addendum.
That was the rock song.
Yeah.
Huh?
Rock song.
It's on the agenda.
Okay.
So there's no addendum that I'm aware of. And do we got an addendum?
Nothing I'm aware of.
Okay, no addendum.
Okay, approval of the agenda.
Need a vote?
Yes.
So moved.
Open for discussion. It's already been moved in a second. It's open for any discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, next thing is public participation. Do we have any?
We got one guy here.
Okay.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. My name's Keith Brandaugh, and I'm here today representing the Illinois Society of Professional Engineers. And I'm here to award Jeff our 2014 Illinois Government Engineer of the Year Award. Every year, the state gets nominations from federal, state, county, municipal engineers, and I'm very proud to present it to my friend Jeff Blue. I'm going to read it to you. Recognition of outstanding service to the citizens of his community in the state of Illinois. And actually, Jeff was offered a committee meeting for one of his many committees, and I accepted this on his behalf at our annual conference. So I'm going to see if I can do this correctly.
Get it there?
There you go.
Thanks, buddy.
You're welcome.
Appreciate it.
And it's a wonderful award. And his name will be forwarded to the National Society of Professional Engineers for consideration for the National Award for next year.
Okay.
All right.
For your time.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll see.
We lucked out and got you.
And you know what? I knew he could do it.
That's a good part. We had confidence.
That's
in
right.
Casserole.
And they even made it look pretty cool, so I like that part.
Like you're going out,
it's got
to
your bridge.
There you go. We're taking off. It's a rocket.
It's got your bridge on it.
Can you can we put that in the full board, just recognition?
Yeah, we can forward it to the full board.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Next thing is approval of the minutes for June 6, 2012.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. Now, next thing on the agenda is the county and township motor fuel claim for June and July 2014. Okay, I need a motion and a
so much.
Second.
Second.
Okay, it's open for discussion. See now. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay, the next thing is the county engineer's report.
First item, number 7, is resolution appropriating $28,978 from the MFT. For the county share of Kuat's fees for July 1st, 2014 through June 30th of 2015. This is our equalized share of the funds for Kuat's. I know this is always a question of what do they do for us. It's amazing how much they do for us. I mean, we've got Rita and one of her staff members here today talking about the long-range transportation plan and the multitude of highway safety improvement projects that we've received at the county and all the things that they do for us. John was just talking to me earlier about professional services fees. $28,978 probably wouldn't even come close to covering the professional service fees if you actually hired somebody to do what Kuwatz does for us. So,
Don't tell them, please.
It's a good deal. So I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
Motion approved.
Okay, then motion and second.
I second.
Okay, now let's open up for discussion. Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
The next item is the LRTP presentation, so I will let Kuwatz take it from here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for letting us present this to you. We have been presenting the update of the Long Range Transportation Plan 2040 for the Kuwatz member agencies in the last month and a half. This is just an update on the work that we have done so far. The idea is that we'll come back to you probably in month and a half, 2 months, to get a resolution for approval of the document. The long-range transportation plan needs to be approved by the Kuwatz board, the two boards, technical and policy, early in December for all the member agencies to be able to get federal funding in the following years for the different projects that we'll have included in the plan. Then it's a federal requirement, and at this time, we are going just to provide an update, and then later, probably in October, we'll be back asking for the final approval before it goes to the Kuwatz board in December. Okay, Ashley is going to make the presentation.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ashley. I'm going to be speaking from back here. Can all of you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I'm a transportation planner with Kuwatz, and I'm in charge of the long-range transportation plan. We started it in 2012, and like Rita said, it's due to be approved in December of this year. I know the screen is a bit small, so you can't necessarily see all the text, but basically I'm just going to give you an overview of the plan today and highlight what's new in this plan as opposed to the previous plans, and give you an idea of our vision for 2040. This plan goes through 2040, so it's a 25-year vision. And to start, I'm going to talk a little bit about what's new. Two major differences in this plan. One is that we've done an extensive community outreach campaign for this plan, and we've also increased our statistical modeling capabilities in the office. And in particular, this plan will include a neighborhood level analysis of a lot of the data we've collected over the last 2 years, but we've been collecting over the past several decades. So the Community Conversations Bus was our major tool for community outreach this time. It's a MTD bus that we wrapped with our logo, and we took to 29 events around the community over the past 2 years, and we received over 1,500 comments on different parts of the plan, depending on what we were soliciting feedback on. This is a picture of the bus. The picture on top, I think, is Savoy. The one on bottom is Champaign. And so we would pull it up to an event where there's already a lot of people, and we would set up a table outside for people to fill out surveys. We'd give incentives, like this past time we were giving out little succulent plants for people to have in their homes, just as like a thank you for participating and giving their time and giving us feedback about the plan or the projects we're proposing, etc. And then inside we would have additional information, maps about the area and information about the area. As we were doing this, we were constantly collecting demographic information and charting it so that we knew that we were getting a representative sample of the population. So we were keeping track of where people were from, race and ethnicity, their age and gender. And so if any of these were majorly underrepresented, for instance, we're almost always underrepresented in the college age category because, of course, that age group is overrepresented in our community. But then we would schedule additional events to try to capture input for different populations. Yeah.
Looking at your municipalities there, Rantoul is a pretty good sized community. I don't even see anything up there. Were you not in there?
That's a good question. They're not actually in our metropolitan planning area. So we did get a little bit of feedback from Rantoul, but we didn't go to Rantoul specifically.
And the gender?
Too far away. Yeah, they're in the MPO now.
The gender, in all of our events was always slanted toward females.
Yeah.
And part of this, there's a couple theories we have about this. Actually, that's quite true. So whenever there was a couple that would come to the bus, it was always the female that was filling out the survey. And often they were discussing, you know, the questions, but it was almost always the female filling out the survey. Also, we had a kids' table. And so a lot of kids would come to the bus, and so they would play or color or whatever while parents were filling out surveys. And often that was a female parent was there. With the kids. And so there are a couple reasons why the gender's a little bit skewed. Hopefully that the results do include, you know, their male counterpart input in a lot of the cases, but
just like at home.
Yeah, so that's
you guys wouldn't function with that.
So during this process we're also geocoding all of our data points, so the survey respondents themselves, if they volunteered their information or their residence, we would geocode their location to keep track of, you know, where we were getting input from. But we were also geocoding all of the data we were getting in terms of the feedback they were giving about the transportation system or the projects they were voting on. So in 2013, our main questions were how do you get around your community in a typical week, and also we asked them to identify specific strengths and weaknesses in the transportation network. And so the graph on the bottom shows, and I don't know if you can see these details, but it shows by mode what how different age groups are getting around the community. And the only thing I'll point out here is that the green bar is actually bicycles, and we were surprised to find that that was very consistent in every single age category. And the specific strengths and weaknesses we'll talk a little bit more about later. This was a picture from this year. We were asking survey respondents to vote on their favorite, not their favorite, but the projects they thought were most important. So we got a list of projects, transportation development projects from each of the municipalities in the study area. And then we had the members of the public who visited the bus, we had them tell us which three they thought were most important in three different time periods. So this is a picture of our voting board. We had them fill out a more specific survey, but then there is also a board where they would put stickers next to their favorite project. And so you can see some of them were a lot more popular than others. And then another thing we did for public outreach was to hire a graphic facilitator for some for our visioning meetings. We held four different visioning meetings around the community, one specifically targeted toward business developers, one specifically for youth, one for social service employees that worked more in the rural areas, and then one that was open to the general public. So the main questions we were asking were, where will we be in 2040 if we do nothing different? And what would you like to see for your community in 2040? And so then we would kind of talk about if there were differences between those two ideas about the future. So the graphic facilitator would draw the conversation as it was happening live, and so people could see their input being registered, and we also had this artifact after the fact that we can post online and get additional feedback on, you know, whenever in the future. And then the second thing, our statistical models. In the previous plan, we had only the travel demand model, which tells us congestion and different impacts of transportation infrastructure into the future. We now have increased our modeling capabilities. We have a land use change and impact model, social cost of land development model, and then two local level models that measure affordability and health impact. And so with all of these models, we're able to paint a more holistic picture of the future. And I'll talk a little bit more about those later. So the three main parts of the plan are existing conditions, critical issues, and our 2040 vision. So I'm going to touch on the existing conditions right now and give you an idea of kind of where we're at in the community. I'm going to fly through a lot of this because it's not necessarily integral to our 2040 vision, but feel free to stop me if you have any questions. So in terms of our metropolitan planning area, the region and transportation system are expanding outward, and population and employment are both increasing. So this is a map of our metropolitan planning area. This is the area that we're federally responsible to plan for in the long-range transportation plan. So the sections in blue, Champaign, Urbana, Tolono, Bonneville, and Savoy, those are all part of the census-defined urbanized area. And then we've also added Mahomet within the metropolitan planning area, even though it's not technically part of our urbanized area, because of the close connection it has with our urbanized area and the direct transportation link. This is our road network. In red, that represents the road network in 2014, and as you can see, it's just been expanding outward.
1914.
What did I say?
2014.
Sorry, 1914. these are our population projections for 2040. So the small lines at the bottom represent the different municipalities, but all of our projections were done at the county level. So this starts at 1970 on the left, and so Champaign County is this top line here. 1970 population was 163,281. In 2010, we're at 200,081. And in 2040, we projected about 40 to 45,000 additional people in the county overall. And that's based on migration patterns, the university growth, land growth, and the economy as well. In terms of demographics, the region is urbanizing, population is diversifying, and the way people travel is changing. Actually, in terms of the commuting mode, this gives you an idea of how people get around in each of the municipalities in our metropolitan planning area. I'm not going to go through it the whole thing, it's just a chart of numbers, but just to point out some of the major differences. If you can see the walking row, you'll notice that in Urbana, for instance, about 17.9% of the working population commutes to work, whereas in Bonneville, that's 0%. Or Tolono, it's only 1.7%. So in the urbanized area, where there's a lot more infrastructure and density for walking, biking, public transportation, those numbers are quite a bit higher. Between 2000 and 2010, we've seen an increase in the Asian population by 5.4%, increase in the African American population at 3.6%, Hispanic population 2.5%, and the overall proportion of the Caucasian population has decreased 5.7%. We also see a rural to urban shift every 10 years, about 2.5%. Doesn't mean that people in the rural area are necessarily moving in, but it means that the population in the urban area is growing faster than it is in the rural area. And so that proportion grows about 2.5% every 10 years, and we expect that to continue into the future. In terms of land use, we've seen increased density from 2009 to 2012, and agriculture remains the largest land use within our metropolitan area boundaries. So this is just the tax assessor map of different land uses, and the area outside in that light green color is all agricultural area. In terms of the environment, air quality is showing a declining trend, and water quality is mixed with need for improvement. This chart demonstrates of all of the 10 segments of water that we measure quality in for the area, only 7 of them actually support their intended uses, whether it's aquatic life, fish consumption, or primary contact. 2 of the segments aren't assessed, but of the 10 that are, only 7 meet the criteria for those uses, which is, there's a lot of room for improvement there. You can see here that some of the stream segments have changed from 2008 to 2012. Some have gotten better, some have gotten worse, but we're still only at about 30% good health in our water streams, water segments. In terms of air quality, we use 1-hour and 8-hour ozone readings to measure quality in the area. And we only have 2 measuring devices for air quality in the region. One is in Bonneville, one is in Champaign. But as of 2010, the one in Champaign, which was at Booker T. Washington Elementary School, was removed when that building was torn down. And so we actually only have 1 measuring device as of 2010, and it's in Bonneville. So we need better measuring devices in addition to improving the overall quality. So the chart on the top shows that for 8-hour ozone readings, we're hovering right around the acceptable threshold for those readings. And then on the bottom, for the 1-hour ozone readings, we're still significantly below what's considered acceptable.
The other important thing to mention here is the measuring device in Washington School was removed from the school in 2010. And after 2010, we see increases on ozone readings. Then we are wondering if there is an impact on the way that is measured now, just from Bonneville, and not having a measuring device in Champaign.
Right, so the air there is different, could be impacted by different qualities or different, you know, conditions in that area as opposed to having a more accurate reading closer to the urbanized area.
Because the increase is after 2010.
So for mobility and population health, areas in the core generally meet more livable, what we call livable criteria than areas on the fringe. And obesity has been identified as one of the most urgent health priorities in the community by area health jurisdictions. So as transportation planners, our main connection to health is the way that we encourage or discourage physical activity through mode choice. So we've been doing a lot of work in the past several years to support more active transportation infrastructure, which means walking, biking, and even taking transit, which requires more walking in a typical day than driving your car. This chart is just a general chart I took from the CDC that shows on the left, the furthest left country there is Latvia, and it shows that their walking, biking, and transit rates are well over 60%. Their obesity rates are between 10 and 20%. The U.S. is all the way on the right, where our walking, biking, and transit rates are right around 10%, and our obesity rate is up over 30%. So just to give you an idea of how active transportation alone really impacts the amount of physical activity that people get in a day, and therefore impacts people's overall health, particularly in terms of obesity, which has been identified as a major concern in the community, but also in the nation overall. So this chart shows how obesity and related, how diabetes type 2 has grown significantly just since 1994. So for Illinois in particular, obesity rates were around 14% in 1994, between 14 and 17, and now in 2010, they're over 26%. So some of the ways that we're using to document this and address this in the community. We have two models I talked about earlier. One is the Local Affordability and Livability Index, and the other is a new one, our Health Index. So we're using a lot of different variables to overlay to see what are the different connections between illness rates and the transportation network in the community. So the Local Affordability and Livability Index charts people's access to services, the cost of transportation from wherever they're at in the community. And the Health Index uses actual illness records in the community and relates them, controls for socioeconomic conditions, and then relates them to their access to sidewalks, bike paths, active transportation, health centers, fresh food, all sorts of other things. And so in the LRTP, this isn't required, but as an appendix, we will have a more localized analysis of health conditions and access in the community related to transportation. So as for the transportation network itself, the comments here on the left are just a really brief overview of where we're at in terms of that particular mode. And then on the right, we have related goals and objectives that are included. These are draft goals and objectives included in the LRTP 2040. And the comments, I'll just note, the comments in yellow on the left, those are directly from public input. So in terms of pedestrians, very few workers walk to work overall. Safety is an issue. Pedestrian vehicle crashes have increased in the last 10 years. And overwhelmingly, the public said we need better sidewalk access and connectivity. And on that note, we are currently undertaking a massive sidewalk assessment where we actually have a team of interns measuring 900 plus miles of sidewalk in the urbanized area, and so we'll have a much better inventory of the conditions of sidewalks in the neighborhood, and we'll be able to better prioritize improvement projects for ADA access and better connectivity throughout the region. In terms of bikes, biking is way far down on the list in terms of commuting modes. Bicycle infrastructure access and connectivity could be improved, and bikers also talked about needing more safety education and enforcement. Car drivers also talked about the same thing. So there's still there's still some confusion in terms of how to safely and appropriately share the road between bikes and cars, whether there's a bike lane or not. You know, what are the rules for respecting both of those modes of transportation? In terms of buses, transit ridership is way up in the region. That chart there, I would zoom in, but I can't. The chart just demonstrates ridership increase since 2007. It's gone up about 2.5 million, and actually more than that, because the final number there, I think, is from 2012.
Yes. This is all geared off MTD, not Chris or anything else.
Correct. This is just MTD. Currently, the MTD service area does not match the urbanized area, so there are still parts of the urbanized area that are not serviced by MTD. And people who gave feedback said that they want more service, higher frequency, more direct routes, and safer bus stops. So we got most of the input we got about the transportation network had to do with the bus, and also most of the positive input we got about the transportation network had to do with the bus. So people definitely recognize that as a valuable asset in our community, and they want more and better service. Particularly off campus, people talked a lot about having wanting more direct routes and higher frequency. In terms of cars, complete streets, access management, and roundabouts are three of the main guidelines we use for roadway development going forward. Currently, crashes per 100 million vehicle miles traveled are below state targets. Yeah.
Roundabouts, who decided that one?
Well, we don't have any roundabouts planned at the moment. These are just three of the guidelines that the CUAT's Technical and Policy Committee rely on when looking at future development in appropriate areas.
Why was it decided?
Maybe you could talk more about roundabouts.
We are the request of the members of CUAT's. Probably 2 years ago, we put together guidelines, states and national guidelines, about how, if in the future there is a need for having a roundabout, which are the main requirements and the best design for implementing roundabouts in the community.
So with the discussion that the public's brought up and the controversy it's brought, we're still...
It was after that we decided to put together guidelines in how to design roundabouts if in the future there is a need to put in place roundabouts.
Should be the other way around. Should have been eliminated based on the public.
Well, based on national studies that we have seen, roundabout is a safe way
of moving. Is this a study on what the public has determined it wants, or a study on what the national?
National studies in terms of safety. In terms of safety, the trend is to have more roundabouts in urban areas.
It's not about what the public determines it needs or wants, and taxpayers want. It's about what. Mm-hmm.
Well, nothing is actually planned.
Yeah,
this is a guideline because of the controversy. What are the conditions that are necessary for this to be implemented?
If there is one, if there is
any issues that,
and at any time that we do a project, we have a lot of public input before deciding the final design of the roadway. Then that's why it's good to have guidelines in place and then talk to the public. This is what is planned. It's up to you to decide if you want it or not.
I guess as I'm looking at this, and I don't know if this is just me, and I please don't take this as being uninterested, but to me what I'm seeing and what you're telling me now is all about MTD and what MTD needs to do. I'd like to, from the county's standpoint, look a little closer at how this relates to us and our participation, as opposed to worried about your study and what you're going to do here. Now, I know QOTS is part of RPC, but this is a highway meeting, and so therefore I appreciate the information, and I think it's good information, but I'm sitting here going, okay, MTD knows these things, they've got this to do. Now, what's our part in this, and what are we supposed to be looking at when you're done with this presentation? Because then we've got these safety and security ideas. So I guess what I'm asking is, what do you want from us?
At this time, we don't want anything. We are just providing the information and what we have done so far on developing the plan. The plan is a federal requirement. The plan needs to be approved by all the entities working as part of QOTS. The county is one of the member agencies of QOTS. Okay. Then the county will have to approve the plan to get federal funding. Otherwise, the federal funding that is allocated to QOTS will not come through if the plan is not approved. That's why we are giving the information. In terms of the area that we are covering, is federally mandated. We cannot expand it to the whole county because that's by census, that's the area that we are covering.
Well, and I guess too, if I can follow up. You know, I see this plan and I see Champaign-Urbana, I see a little bit of Mahomet. I mean, our county is much more than that. And coming from the district I come from, is a pretty good-sized district. They use these type of items. They need these kind of items.
And so to be not part of this plan or part of this program, and maybe they're in it now, but I sit here and think things are a little disproportionate for the county members, for the unincorporated areas, which is what we really are versus Champaign, Urbana.
Yeah, but
I understand that you've got to make this presentation and stuff, but as we do this study or whatever, it needs to reach out.
Well, that's why in the LRNP, there is a suggestion, a recommendation to develop a Champaign County plan. Yeah, because with the funding that we receive from QATS, we cannot use that funding to develop a county highway plan. The area that, by federal law, we are responsible for doing a plan is the area that we just chose there.
Because it eliminates the St. Joe area, too, which is a huge bedroom community to the Urbana.
Yes.
So
we know all that, but there is nothing that we can do about it because it's federal regulation.
So it's part of the parameters of being able to get this money is these are the areas they want you to study.
Yes, it's federal regulations. There is nothing that we can do about it, and that's why when the LRNP was developed, one of the recommendations was to do a plan similar to this one for the whole county.
Sure.
One thing that probably you need to know is that all the models that we have developed, the travel demand model, the land use model, and the greenhouse emissions model, were developed at the county level.
Right.
And the population and employment projections were done at the county level, and then from there we went to the urbanized area. But there are things that have already been done at the county level that we can use for developing a plan in the future, but we cannot develop a plan for the whole county at this time with the regulation that we have from QATS.
Okay, Lord.
Sorry,
other
I was
words.
Confused.
No, it's
this is kind of a model, right? A model, a projection model.
Mm-hmm.
And when you start putting the component together now, then this is your most useful areas, I think, to get that would probably get some money for. Now your smaller places, you have to get them in as you get the things going. That's the way to do it. I know that's what you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
To some extent, that is true in the sense that once infrastructure and, you know, different priorities are worked out in the urbanized area, it is much easier to connect out or extend service to areas further out.
Yeah.
And since these areas do service the entire county, we're not addressing those specific areas, but hopefully it benefits everyone to some degree.
And when we do, for example, for the travel demand model, because it's done at the county level, we are considering all the flow of traffic coming from Rantoul, coming from St. Joe, coming from Mahomet, affecting Champaign Urbana and the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that we cannot do the whole analysis in a plan for the whole county.
Based on this grant?
Based on the federal regulation. It's not even a grant, it's a federal regulation.
Okay, so the last point on this one, the public talked about congestion. There's not a lot of congestion in the area, so they talked mostly in terms of North Prospect when they were talking about congestion on the roadways. For rail use is growing. We think that a freight plan is necessary to identify rail and truck needs throughout the community so that the roads that can accommodate larger trucks, that the larger trucks stay on those roads instead of going on any of the other roads that aren't necessarily equipped for that. It also keeps things safer for bikers and walkers. In terms of public input, people overwhelmingly talk about high-speed rail, having better, more direct access to other regional centers in the area. And the chart on the right, you can't really see, that's Amtrak ridership is up significantly since 2000. And then in terms of planes, air travel at Willard has decreased since 2006. But the percent of delayed flights is down 50% since 2003, which is great. People overwhelmingly said they wanted more flights to bigger hubs. And I don't know if any of you saw the recent summary of the Willard Task Force that was in the News Gazette. We'll be using some of that data and analysis in our plan, talking about air travel going forward. Yeah?
Well, I'm thinking about Willard. I don't know why they... Years ago, it was a lot better than it is now.
Right.
You used to get on the airplane here and go to Washington, D.C. And all worse than I think ours is worse than Bloomington, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a good question. The chart on the right, which you probably can't see, that chart's the regional airports. Just to give you an idea, Willard is the dotted blue line on the bottom of that chart.
Then the county used to have, we used to serve on that committee for the airport, and we stopped. I don't know why we've done that. That we used to, you know, and that would help for us to understand the downfall and where they're not growing and have better hubs for us to get out of here.
Yeah, sure. So there is the task force in place that I mentioned that is talking about how Willard could and should kind of grow and develop into the future. The flight school will certainly stay there, but in terms of how they develop, in terms of passenger travel or freight travel, that's all kind of up in the air at this point. Particularly if something like high-speed rail is a realistic option, that would definitely impact Willard significantly as well, because that would give people 45-minute access to O'Hare
Airport.
So, in terms of critical issues for the area for this plan, as a result of the existing conditions and all of the public input we received, we filtered it down to 6 main planning pillars that we're going to focus on. Again, I don't know if you can read this, but I'll just go over them briefly. The first one is safety and security. These are also based on national and statewide priorities as well. The first priority here is safety and security. Second one is balanced development. So trying to balance, you know, historic preservation, environmental preservation with new construction. Multimodal connectivity, providing coordination of different modes to get everywhere in the community. Accessibility and affordability. This has to do with equal access, making sure that everyone of all backgrounds and economic standing has access to the transportation modes they need and the has access to the different areas of the community they need. Healthy neighborhoods. This one brings in the health data we were talking about earlier and the connection between public health and transportation planning. And then resilient economy. Making sure we have the infrastructure and diverse economy in place to be able to have some stability and bounce back after things like the downturn in 2008. So this is the vision from 2035, just to give you an idea of where we're at. This map shows the projects that were in the roadway projects that were in the 2035 vision. The ones in green have been completed, the ones in yellow are in progress, and the ones in blue have not yet been funded. And so you'll see there's a couple around the outside there that haven't been funded yet, and then the line through the middle is actually the high-speed rail corridor that was also in the 2035 plan. So those projects in blue are going to carry forward to the 2040 plan. So in terms of our 2040 vision, you have a copy of the goals and objectives and performance measures. Since 2004, we've been using smart performance measures so that we can more accurately track our progress and hold ourselves accountable to the specific goals that we've set for ourselves.
What page is that?
Oh, that's your whole packet. So that whole chapter
is
all goals and objectives based on each of those 6 priorities I just mentioned. Healthy neighborhoods, resilient economy. And it's a, just to give you an idea, they're all spreads. So these all go together, all for multimodal connectivity. So this is our map for our draft 2040 vision. Like I mentioned before, the projects from 2035 have carried over because those have still been determined that they're still priorities. The high-speed rail corridor is still in place. And then all of the projects in red there were actually, I think it's about 12 of the highest voted projects when we did our public outreach with the project list. Those projects in red were the ones that got the most votes in our public outreach. I'm not going to go through them all, but there they are if you have any questions. And then a little bit more about our population and employment projections to give you an idea of the difference between our 2040 plan and what would happen if we didn't do anything differently. The population for the 2040 vision is in red, which is the bottom line at the top, and then the orange one that slightly diverges right at the end. That's The population based on current trends is in red. Population based on the 2040 vision is in orange. There's not much of a difference there. And then on the bottom is employment. So the employment based on current trends is in blue, and the employment based on the 2040 vision is in green. So the main difference between the 2040 vision and current trends would be an emphasis on constructing a high-speed rail corridor between 2030 and 2040. So that means slightly more population than anticipated and significantly more employment, given that our current unemployment rate is much higher than it has been in the past several decades. And so the more employment in 2040 based on high-speed rail has to do with closing that unemployment gap. So just to give you an idea of one of our land use models, the land use model is showing our current trends on the left, which you'll see there's a lot more peripheral growth, and then on the right is our 2040 growth. This is kind of an abstract map, but just to give you an idea, our 2040 vision focuses more on higher density and increasing growth and development in the core as opposed to the peripheral areas. And the same goes for employment. The darker areas there are just signify higher growth. And so we're focusing employment growth in the downtowns, the university corridor, and pre-established growth areas that are shown in this next map, like Clearview, the University Research Park, the I-57 Curtis Interchange, which already has a development plan. Olympian Drive will see a little bit of growth with that completion in terms of light industrial. So this is just kind of an overview of some of our main growth areas. And that is all I have. That's all we have so far. The final steps that we'll then be presenting on the next time we come visit you to get final approval of the document are future funding projections and project implementation. So most of the work that we have yet to do has to do with finalizing this 2040 vision and then figuring out the details of what the financial feasibility of the different projects that are included.
So I have some general questions.
Sure.
So by picking a bus, mass transit bus, and, you know, we're talking about the survey in general and how the information is brought forward.
Mm-hmm.
Do you suppose that you predispose the responses to a certain portion of the population?
Yeah, definitely.
Is that,
I think you wanted to do that? Well, we've talked about that, and a lot of times people would ask us, they would kind of assume we were with MTD. So this was something we had to kind of overcome right at the beginning, is to, whenever people approach the bus, make clear that we're here as transportation planners, we're planning for the region for all modes, and the survey itself collected data about all modes, not just the bus.
And that was the main reason for wrapping the bus with the logo from our plan, that we don't match with the MTD buses, and also inside the buses, we remove all the chairs, we remove everything inside, and it was, we had computers, we have maps, we have several devices and information that people don't relate that with the bus. The main reason for using the bus is that we were able to access locations and people that never attend public meetings. We went to the neighborhoods. We went to those places where people is and were attending events and collected information from those people attending those events.
I think you're predisposing the responses. If you're trying to get responses from the whole community,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you did that. I think you only did that to people that would more likely want to, you know, would get on a bus or want intermodal transportation. I mean, general population I think it's important to have mass transit in Urbana-Champaign, and I have a problem with mass transit.
Mm-hmm.
Other people may not feel that same way, may not have their views as part of this survey. In other words, you didn't get a wide view of how people feel about transportation. Like, there doesn't seem to be a lot in this study about what happens to roads between Mahomet and Champaign.
We went to Mahomet.
Right.
But the people that would respond, if it's a bus, weren't necessarily those that understand that they should get on this bus. They may be thinking, well, are we going to start having MTD out here? I don't want to get on that bus and survey and get and be part of a survey about MTD buses in Mahomet.
People didn't have to get into the buses. We also had tables on the events and had surveys and talked to people about it.
As soon as they saw the bus, if that was the only way you're taking information is in front of an MTD bus, they wouldn't necessarily go near it to even do the survey.
But that's why I'm telling. We did it. All the events were not with the buses. For example, we were at the Meadowbrook Park there 4 hours on a table, and the bus was not present at all. We went to Hazel Park, and we walked around, and the bus was not there, and talked to people that were attending the event. Then in several places, we didn't take the bus, and we talked to people. We went to the Sweet Corn Festival, and we walked around with surveys and talked to people and fill out the surveys without the bus being there. And also, we sent press releases, and we sent put ads on the newspaper and invited people, because all the surveys and the maps to provide comments were available in our website. We send the information to people. We have a mailing list of more than 1,000 people. We send the information to these people saying, hey, if you have comments, any kind of comments, please enter our website, provide your comments, and point out on the map the locations and all that, and complete the survey. Then it wasn't exclusively the bus. We found out that using the bus, we were able to access low-income neighborhoods and to access areas and people that usually are not familiar with any transportation plan.
Right. Well, the way this reads, that's the way it reads. And when you have Muhammad and Tolono and people trying to get to work in Champaign, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who would take the bus if they had access to a bus. Bicycles, and believe me, I ride bicycles far enough to be able to drive back and forth multiple times during the day. That's not going to work for them if this is a focus, because the people that are doing the study feel like that's the focus they want, and enough people have gotten involved in this, the only responses you've received, and we're setting up a plan for the next 20, 30 years to do this transportation study based on that focus, I don't think we're doing our job properly.
Okay, Lloyd?
Yeah. Well, I have to put a plug in for them. We've been knowing about this study for about 10 years back, right? Or more. Because Danville finally, we got that in, and now I'm living to see we're going up to Loder, right? I think that's what the bus ride go up to Loder. That's what you contemplate on doing now. Get that started, ran to, all of that was talked about 10 years ago, I know.
That's not in the study or the area that they are able to study within this parameter.
They might not put it in this one, but it's been on the board for that long.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the beauty of, I could say, of QS doing this is that we are also working with the rural areas through the rural mm-hmm. transportation, that at any time that we went to Muhammad, we went to Rantoul, we got input from people from Tolono, and they asked us about public transportation. We gave them brochures about CRIS and the service that they are providing and what needs to be done. Then that's the good thing, that we are working also on that project, that we relay that information to the people on the rural areas.
So boy made the comment, they didn't want no buses down there. I'm serious, they did.
The economic development, and we look at 2040. If we go back 5 years and maybe just kind of study what's happening within the state, a good case in point, that super pantries were just sold to a company in Canada.
Right.
So you have a corporate headquarters located in Champaign that is just going to go to dust. Mm-hmm. And I think that the trend, the previous recession we haven't recovered from, and now we've gone through a second recession. Mm-hmm. So the spikes are lower, and so my big question is where's the need? What's the economic drivers, and how can we better address just our current infrastructure, mm-hmm. and until, because you mentioned Clearview, and I love Clearview because it's a great place to land a balloon.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing out there.
Yeah. We perceive the same that you are saying, and based on the input that we received, we asked for funding from IDOT to incorporate economic development into the plan. And at this time, we will not be incorporating all that we think we should in the plan, but we receive funding, and at this time, mm-hmm. we are working on developing a plan to relate economic development with transportation. And in June, we had two workshops with through the Economic Development Corporation with the groups that they have in place and ask them, what do you think we need to do in terms of transportation to improve access to your companies, to improve access of the employees to your companies? Well, and then we have been
and
having
also freight in terms of getting products in and out, materials
yeah.
in and out.
Then and we are addressing that, and we'll have a separate plan that in the future will incorporate into the long-range transportation plan addressing those concerns, because we have the same concerns.
But also just to clarify, so the 2040 vision that talks about, or that includes a high-speed rail scenario, you'll notice that the employment is significantly higher there. So our population and employment projections, based on current trends, are based on our history in the area and also national and regional trends in terms of economics, and the migration and population patterns as well. And so those are significantly more conservative. You'll see that blue line at the bottom, as opposed to if we were to get a high-speed rail corridor, that employment number is based more on other studies of high-speed rail corridors in similar locations.
And I understand over 40 years, your growth looks good, but if you reduce it to, a five-year trend, what that might look like. And I think it would shed a different light on it. The other thing about transportation and the airport, I think it's really important if we were to disconnect with the University of Illinois, and I know that they own the facility and they control all the cards, but I feel that our development, if we could develop the land around it and have interrelated businesses using the facility, I think would be key. And then
that's being proposed in the plan.
And then adding, then being able to be competitive with there's fewer airlines, so you have to deal with what's that. But maybe those one, where direct, I don't know what you call them, the no frills airlines that go from point A to point B on an irregular schedule mm-hmm. might be something that would be good to solicit for this area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but we propose more development around the airport, and we are in contact with the group working on the airport to see what kind of recommendations they provide that we can incorporate into the plan.
So I also just wanted to go back really briefly to this map. So in terms of the roadway vision and, say, bike projects or road projects, when we talk about increasing active transportation, we're talking about making all of our roadways more accessible to all users. So it doesn't mean we're removing roadways for cars. It doesn't mean we're not constructing new roadways for cars. It means that when we do, we're also taking into consideration the physical desire of people to walk and bike, the health benefits of that, the economic benefits of that for people that can't afford to own their own car, which is up to almost 10% in Urbana. So we're taking all of that into account. We're not, like I said, we're not removing car projects, but when we do develop them, we're also taking into account that all of those roadways need to accommodate more than just cars now. They need to accommodate and make safe biking, walking, and public transit. So just to go back to this map briefly, all of these projects, none of these projects are strictly walking or biking. They're all roadway projects. That's our funding for roadway projects is federal. We don't necessarily get federal funding for biking and pedestrian projects through this particular plan. So that's not actually included on this map, but just kind of to clarify our kind of overall goals and responsibilities with this plan.
Let me ask you a direct question.
Sure.
What happens to the corridor between Mahomet and Champaign? Because I don't believe between now and 2040 that if nothing happens to 74, that there's any growth in Mahomet.
So
that road does not handle the traffic now.
So this, the X there, right at the intersection of 57 and 74, there is a major redesign that's already been approved. It hasn't been funded yet. So that is in our plan for that intersection, and that would include not only a revamping of the intersection, but also a widening of that portion of the highway. Okay. I don't know the details in terms of all the way to Mahomet, but there are other plans.
But there's been no discussion in this 20 to 40. I mean, maybe I'm being too preliminary. But they're not, in other words, you're not going to widen the six lanes to Mahomet in this plan.
We are waiting to get a document. Mahomet is working on developing a transportation plan for the village of Mahomet. We just got the document this week.
The draft.
The draft document this week. We are looking at the document to see what projects they are proposing to incorporate those projects into this plan.
And but they do propose a couple widenings here and there. We haven't gone over the final details of that.
QX doesn't expect to widen six lanes by 2040.
The highway?
No. Why? You don't think, that road, that intersection is the biggest problem, but in the next 26 years, my math's not right. The car load has to be unbelievable on that road.
There is a possibility that could happen. We have to wait for the report from the consultant working on the design to see the future volumes, and then depending on what they have, because we need to coordinate with the state and we need to coordinate with the cities and with the villages, the projects that they are proposing, and incorporate those projects into the plan that we have here. Then that's why that's not in place. There is a possibility, but we are working for the results of the study done by the consultant hired by IDOT to do the analysis of the interchange to see if they are proposing widening I-74. And regarding Mahomet, we just received the draft of the transportation plan this week and will incorporate those projects into this plan too.
But as a federal highway, they will determine if the capacity requires additional lanes. So that's not a study or that traffic counts that we're actually...
Well, I think it would be important for this.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely, but yeah. We cannot go over the state because they are the ones who will tell us, will be six lanes or will be eight lanes. We have to wait for the results of the study that they are doing. And the plan can be amended later once we get that information. At this time, we don't have it.
Have you had an opportunity to study the infrastructures of the municipalities around Champaign-Urbana, the water, sewer, where they are at capacity, so that you could gauge the future growth?
We work with the comprehensive plan that they have developed. They have studied that, the capacity of the sewer and drainage, and based on that they propose development, and then based on what they are telling us, then we propose the projects that we have here. There is coordination among the different agencies, member of QWATS, on the projects that are listed.
What communities, what's a percentage? Do you have a percentage of growth without major
services in place?
Yeah.
That's a good question. No, there's not. We haven't proposed a lot that's completely outside of a sewer or water line. Occasionally, our projections will put some population in an area where there's not sewer yet, and so when we visited with all of the agencies, they would then point out, that's not going to happen until 2050 because...
Yeah, I know that even in Champaign that there's...
Yeah, there's areas limitations.
That can't develop because of...
Limitations regarding sewer and all that, yeah. That's why we went through a process. This has been a 30-month process, working with them on what can be done, what cannot be done, based on the plans that they have in place.
One last time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The areas that you have marked as potential areas that need help or whatever are all within the municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
To me, and not that QATS and RPC or whatever would enhance working with this study, but I would have thought that one of those municipalities or MTD would have been the lead agency for all of this, and then we would enhance that and not put the county through this, and we more direct our vision to outside of there. but it looks like the study is basically about what's going on in the city mm-hmm. with transportation, and that's good. Mm-hmm. But I just think that they have a better vested interest, the municipalities do, as being kind of the lead, and then we enhance by helping out around. But what I'm hearing is, no, we're going to be the ones in charge, and that's the part I don't care for, quite frankly. I mean, I'll just say it.
Sounds absurd, but...
And I understand that's the way it's written, but that doesn't mean that we have to do it.
No, okay, so let me clarify a little bit. All of the plans that each of the municipalities have, those are definitely a priority for those municipalities.
Right.
Our agency is a coordinating agency for all of the municipalities. So there are seven different ones within the study area, and we're in charge of coordinating all of them.
All of those.
Mm-hmm. So for federal funding, we're in charge of making sure that all of their projects are within the document so that they can get funding for all of those projects. All of these projects were given to us by the municipalities and are in those plans. And that should probably be clear in the presentation that...
They have their own vested interest in there at the table.
Absolutely. And even though we do all this public input on the plan, we're not getting public input on our ideas per se. We're getting input on kind of the overall big picture of coordinating all of these different plans.
Yeah, and many of these projects, even they are listed there, not all those projects are able to receive federal funding. Only a portion of those projects are able to receive federal funding because they have to have certain designation to be able to receive federal funding. On the other hand, Jeff received federal funding for the county projects through a different pot of money that is not, we have urban and rural, and that's why the county priorities are not in there.
Correct, can you hear what I'm saying? This is a county meeting. We are county board. I understand that we have to coordinate together, and I hear you that sometimes we have to be kind of the conduit where it all rolls through, and I guess maybe just explaining that a little better, because as an outsider, so to speak, I'm like, well, why is this our problem? So
don't forget, you're Champaign County Regional Planning Commission coordinates planning for the entire region, which includes the municipalities, and you have members who sit on the county board who represent the areas that are
and I understand that
dealt with. So it's just a function of this particular project doesn't happen to focus on the rural areas of the county, but it's still county. It's still a county initiative.
It's part of the county.
And it has to be planned through the Regional Planning Commission, which happens to be a county entity.
And that's why I said I wish that was explained earlier, because that's not the way I saw this the first 20 minutes of this presentation today. And to me, that's why I'm like, well, why don't they have a vested interest in this? Because if we're the conduit or the coordinator through it, okay, yeah, I can understand that. But that's not the way this started out on this presentation for the first 20 minutes. And that's where I'm trying to wrap my head about, okay, this is going to help, because if they get this part put together, then that enables them to go ahead and do this part on the outsides. That's okay. That's good. But I'm not hearing where our vested interest is in from these other places. And I'm feeling that the way it's presented is we're kind of in charge of everything. So there's where my confusion and my thought process was going is, okay, what do you want from us here today? So basically they're laying it out that there is a grant available to study this. The conduit would be QATS or RPC or whatever that would help gather information of everybody. But the other parties are all going to be at the table working on this, and they should be doing studies and also go in and ask for different information so we can put it all together. And that's what I wasn't hearing from you in the first 20 minutes of the presentation today. And that's where my confusion lays. So that's my own opinion.
Yeah.
One more question. So what is going on with 45 through Tolono, the red line?
That's the high-speed rail.
Oh, that's the high-speed rail? Mm-hmm. Right.
And the rest of it is money.
Money.
Where the money comes
from, you, Mr.
Right.
Now, if they go ahead and pass the bill up there and said no, then you kind of have a sense of direction where you're going. But they won't get off the. Yeah, I was saying. And put the money out so we start on this infrastructure. and the highways and the bridges and the, but they're sitting on the money up there in Washington.
They don't have any money in Washington.
Okay. Okay, is that all, Rita?
Oh, yeah. That's
what we need to do, accept and put it somewhere?
No, you don't need to do anything. It was just a date.
Okay.
FYI.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Didn't know we'd be a rough crowd, did you?
Sorry. I think they anticipated a little bit. All right. Let's move on with the agenda here. Item number 9 is a petition from Summer Road District for the replacement of a structure up on Fort Harris Road to just to the east of U.S. Route 45. Approximate cost for the project is $47,000. And Summer Township has petitioned the county for use of county bridge funds for help in replacing the structure. And I would ask for your approval of that.
Motion to approve. Motion second. Okay, it's open for discussion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed?
That clock.
Item number 10 is a resolution appropriating $250,000 from county motor fuel tax for road maintenance. This is basically for purchasing of the salt that we talked about at the county board meeting where we passed the resolution for emergency procurement. We did receive a quote that we accepted at $108 per ton for road salt for the winter. That gets us about 2,300 tons, whereas we usually would buy and use 3,500 tons in a winter. So we're going to try to do things a little bit differently, try to skimp a little bit on the salt and hope and pray that we don't have a winter like we did last year, because in order to buy the needed amount would have put us so far over budget that it would have been difficult to perform any of our other functions of maintenance and construction that we have planned. So this is the monies. The salt is to be 60% of it is to be delivered by November 1st, with the remainder of the balance of the salt be delivered by December 1st into our salt dome. We also used that same bid to get some salt for Mahomet Township, as well as the Village of Savoy. Mahomet Township got 500 tons through that bid, and the Village of Savoy got 300 tons through that bid. So that's where this resolution is coming from.
Okay, Mike.
What was the actual total on the order? I'm assuming it wasn't exactly 200.
No, it's 108.48 times 2,300. I didn't actually, they just bid it per ton. So you can multiply that out. $108.28 a ton times 2,300 tons.
Get your calculator out.
Yeah, I didn't.
108.28 times 2,300.
How much is it, Diane?
I was doing the longhand, but he's quicker.
249,000. 108.28 times 2,300 is 249,044.
So he's got enough money left in his account.
I was wondering along.
Yeah, I got a lot. Yeah. I got a little bit left, right? Get a couple more tons.
You're buying lunch. How much did we spend last year on our purchase?
Well, last year it was $54 a ton, and we got 3,500 tons. So we actually spent a lot less, got a lot more. I couldn't tell the exact number. You'd have to multiply that out as well.
Looks like $189,000.
Yeah.
Last year.
Yep. Now, we were trying to get between 4,000 and 5,000 tons this year because we depleted our, you know, our salt dome down to zero basically, and we typically use 3,500 tons. So we were going to buy an excess so that we made sure we had enough, thinking that the price was going to be $54 a ton again until the bids came in. Y'all know what happened there. We didn't receive a bid, and then everything went haywire. So, you know, it's a supply and demand deal, unfortunately. the winter we had last year. So supplies low, demands high.
Can you bid on it a year ahead or?
Well, what we've done forever and a day, and what the majority of the counties do across the state and the cities, is they use this Central Management Services bid, which is a statewide bid, in order to procure our salt. Because, as everybody always talks, you know, if you do big quantity, you get a lower price. This year it bid us. So next year, actually, what we're thinking about doing is we have to have our tonnage of salt into CMS sometime in late April, as far as how many tons we would like for them to bid on our behalf. So we're looking at possibly trying to do our own bid early April, see what kind of number we get. If we get a decent number, we'll accept it. If we don't, we may reject it and go in with the state and try this process again. This has always worked in the past. It's always given us a good number. But times are changing, so I think we're going to look at both. Obviously, if we would have gone in on the CMS bid this time, we didn't have any opportunity to reject that bid. But if we bid it on our own accord, I would say next year we bid 3,500 tons, you know, on April the 10th, and the bid comes in too high, we can reject it and say, no, we're going to go try the route of the state again. Or if it comes in at a relatively good price, we'll accept it and move forward, and then we're done with figuring out what we're going to do with our salt. Not too many counties have done it like that in the past, but I think you'll see some that are going to move in that direction now.
Do you have a feeling countywide the townships have most of them been able to address their needs or concerns, or are they still hanging out there?
The majority of them, well, all of them that went in on the county bid, like Ludlow, Kenny didn't get a bid, so he's out there trying to find salt. I know Chris is going to use this. Mm-hmm. The majority of the townships, I know Champaign Township is trying to work a deal with somebody down in St. Louis. But the majority of the townships, take your typical rural township, they don't use 10 tons in a year hardly, mm-hmm. you know. Because they go out when it's really, really, if it's really icy, and they might put some down at their intersections. Mm-hmm. Other than that, they don't really use salt. So your more urbanized townships, Mahomet, Urbana, Champaign, Rantoul, I think they've got a plan. But your outlying ones don't really use it anyway.
And is there any, you know, we used to use a lot of cinders in the salt. Is that available anymore anywhere, or is that pretty much a thing of the past?
Well, we could use them out on the rural roadways. We could mix our salt with, you know, some other abrasive unit, whether it's sand or cinders. But the fact that we share the salt dome with the city of Urbana, they don't want to use that on their city streets. So we don't really have a place to mix it and store it and be able to use it. We don't have a facility to do that at. We talked about that internally about, you know, do we need to build something, but we'll see. If this anomaly becomes more of a, you know, a long-term type of deal, we probably need to look at something like that, John. Having our own facility where we can mix 500 tons, you know, we can keep salt or whatever underneath roof so it's not freezing and, you know, wet, and mix it with some kind of abrasive for use out on the county roads.
So the city of Urbana doesn't have a salt dome, because I thought when we got our salt dome, they didn't go in with us to build a salt dome.
Yeah, they did.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, that one was built. County, City of Urbana, and Urbana Township all pitched in when that was built back in, I think, 94 is when we built that dome. So it's a joint facility for all three of those entities.
I thought they had to decline to go in with us.
Nope. So that's why the difficulty of not being able to mix.
Well, I hope you fill it up and you don't need it.
We won't be able to fill. We can get 5,000 ton in there, so 2,300, it won't look real full. But hopefully you're right. Hopefully we don't need it. That would be nice. But I would ask for your approval of that resolution.
Moved and second. Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
Pass that around just so everybody has actually seen it. And this as well.
2 p.m.
Pass those around, right? So items for the consent agenda.
The whole agenda.
One show.
I guess we need more. Item number 7 and number 10.
Already got this down, so.
9 and 10. 7, 9, and 10.
Yep.
Everything on the consent.
So we don't need to go back to the county for the full board for the $250,000?
Yes. Yeah, we do. So 7, 9, and 10 should all be consent. Everything that we voted on.
Do you want, would you pass this to me for?
So we're going to talk about it.
Oh, okay. Is that a copy?
Yeah.
That's not the original, huh?
Yep.
That's good.
Yep. So a couple other things on other business, if I could talk about, Madam Chair. The October 10th meeting, which is our regular scheduled meeting, conflicts with our Illinois Association of County Engineers annual meeting, and I'm on the board of directors for the County Engineers Association, so I'd really like to not have that conflict. If we could possibly move that meeting to October the 3rd at 9 a.m. here, that would help me out a great deal. And we did that last October for the same conflict. So if everybody's okay with that, what's that?
What's it worth to you?
Coffee and donuts.
You can't change it now.
Can I get a full breakfast for us?
No, you've got the award winner.
So is that okay?
Yeah, that would be fine. We need a motion.
I don't know if you need, you don't need anything on that.
Well, you can't have a motion because it's not on the agenda. It would be wise to put it on the September agenda and
okay.
Vote on it.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to put it on the September agenda.
I'll put it on the September agenda. Okay. Couple things that I passed around. The August 12th is the Olympian Drive groundbreaking ceremony at 2 p.m. I know everybody got that in probably multiple different ways, but I want to make sure everybody did see it, so we passed that around. August 15th at 10 a.m. is the Lake of the Woods ribbon cutting for the bridge over I-74. We'll be opening that up on that Friday. The other thing that I passed around is a budget amendment that is on the facilities agenda, or sorry, finance agenda, for the committee of the whole, and I just wanted you guys to understand all the items that are on this for when it comes up next Tuesday. So the three things that are pushing this request for a budget amendment are obviously the $250,000 salt purchase that we just voted on for the motor fuel tax, the City of Urbana Philo Road project, which came through this committee to go ahead and pay for our portion of the Philo Road project through the Fringe Road Agreement. And then the two construction projects that we did this summer, when we were contemplating those projects last summer when I had to put together the 2014 budget, we didn't know if we had the structural ability to go ahead and do cold in place recycling on those roadways. So when I put the budget together, I didn't include the cost for recycling those roadways. But as we did more engineering analysis and found out that the thickness of the asphalt was such that we could recycle them, we went ahead and put that into the project, which actually, if you just do a mill and overlay, you might get 12 to 15 years if you do a recycling job where you go down and recycle everything below and then put your asphalt back on top, it'll extend that life a good 5 to 10 years. So we like to do that if we can. So we incorporated that into those projects for this summer, and that's that extra $750,000 that you see there for County Highways 20 and 11 projects. So this is, we're not voting on this. I just wanted you guys to know what was on that budget amendment for the Cal meeting on Tuesday night. So if you have any questions, I can answer them.
How's that project going?
We are 99% done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We've done the recycling, the overlays. We did the shoulders on the Thomasboro Road. We got to do the shoulders yet on Hensley Road. And then we'll be done. And it looks really, really good. They did a great job. We didn't have any issues with it. So those are the things I wanted to talk about under other business.
Okay, we need a motion for this?
Nope. This is just for your information so you know when it comes up at the Cal meeting what that's all for. And I sent an email to Chris. And I Carvin, you were on that email too, explaining this amendment to him so that he knew because he couldn't be here today.
Okay, any more business? Okay, I declare it's adjourned.
All right.
Adjourn.
Hey, well, congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, Jeff, I'm kind of confused. It's a J. Jeffrey.